Today I'm going to start. I'm starting something, but I'm just going to go as far as I can for today. Praise God. But we're going to start talking about the faithfulness of God today. This is part one. And then I'll pick up the rest of it sometime later. I'm not even concerned about getting it all done. This is something that we will continue to learn and grow in and understand. Amen. So that we can walk in faith more effectively. You know, we cannot walk with God if we have no confidence in His faithfulness. This is my foundation here that I'm laying for you guys. His faithfulness is everything. Without it, there is no ground for faith. Are you listening to me? Without God's faithfulness, there is no ground for faith. Because if we can't count on God staying true to His word and staying true to His character, we have nothing that we can stand on, people. We have no confidence that we could be saved. We have no confidence that we could be healed. We have no confidence whatsoever that God will even go to heaven. Amen. Because we believe in Jesus. We have no confidence of any of that. And for people that struggle with faith, I'm going to dare say that it might be a good idea to get down to the real root of this and start working on the faithfulness of God to you, that knowing that God is faithful to you. There were things in my life when I was younger as a believer that I had a hard time believing that God would do for me. And, you know, I mean, I could receive some things really easy. Like it was easy for me to believe God for healing. But it was like really hard to believe God to meet my needs. And it was because I lacked this real understanding of His faithfulness in my life. And just understanding that God, you know, that He's true no matter what. Amen. Our foundation scripture for this is Psalms 89:1. And it says, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known your faithfulness to all generations. God is faithful, people. And that word faithfulness, there in the Hebrew is the word emunah, which means firmness, fidelity. Fidelity means loyalty to us. It means when you're loyal to God, He's loyal to you. Amen. And He's firm. When He sets something in order, He doesn't change it. Amen. He sticks with it. He stays with it. Steadfastness. God can't be moved. He's steadfast. He's steady. He's the rock of our salvation. He cannot be moved off of what He has set in motion for us and over what He's declared. And I'm gonna talk about that. This is where we're gonna get started on it. I'm gonna talk about what God's faithfulness means to us. I'm gonna jump right into the middle of this, and we're gonna start talking about this right away. Amen. And this is something we gotta get, people. I mean, I think that in some ways we boil it down to just one or two things. But God has given me a seven or eight things, you know, maybe 10. I mean, it might end up being 10 by the time I'm done. Things that His faithfulness means to us. Amen. And we need to understand that. And for the most part, right now, I'm pulling everything right out of the New Testament. I'm going to share the things that I share with you about God being faithful to us. And it's going to come right out of the New Testament, people. All right. Number one, the first thing. Is God's faithfulness means to us is that all His promises are yes and amen to us. Now I'm starting with this. I'm going to use my glasses if you guys don't mind. But I'm going to start with this one because this is fundamental to everything. You know, how can we know, how can we have confidence that what we've prayed for will be answered if we don't know that God keeps His promises to us? If the answer to prayer is yes, no, or maybe, and we're basing it on His promise to us, how can we ever believe God if we don't know, you know, whether He's going to say no or He's going to say maybe? And see, Paul contradicts that right off the bat. 2 Corinthians 1:18 through 20 says, but as God is faithful, say faithful. But as God is faithful, our word to you was not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in Him was yes. For all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him, amen, to the glory of God through us. People, you got to understand, this scripture is the truth. It cannot be broken. There is no yes, no, or maybe. If you're standing on the promises of God, then it's yes and amen. There is no other alternative to that. We need to understand that. And why? Because that's the faithfulness of God. His faithfulness defines that. He will not turn from that. Now, the word faithful in the New Testament is the word pistos in the Greek, which means trustworthy. That's objectively. When we're talking about God being faithful, we're talking about God being trustworthy. If I was talking about you being faithful, I would be talking about you being trustworthy. If I'm talking about myself being faithful, I'm talking about myself as being trustful. In other words, I'm full of trust towards God. You know, and that's the whole point. If God is trustworthy, then we need to be trustful to Him. We need to trust Him and put our confidence in Him and our trust in Him. Amen. But God, as God is faithful, trustworthy, our word to you is not yes and no. Verse 20, for all the promises of God, all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him, amen, to the glory of God, through us. Now, there's a few things I want to say out of this, and let me get into it. You know, the word promises there, this is common. We know what this word is. It's a pagelia. That's the Greek word for it, and it means an announcement. An announcement means God makes a declaration. He's made declarations. And there's different kinds of declarations. One for information. In other words, you take 1 Peter 2:24. It says, by His stripes you were healed. That's an announcement. That's for information. Now that you're born again, Jesus bore your sins in His own body on the tree. You know, that you having died to sin might live for righteousness. By whose stripes you were healed. By whose wounds. That's what the word stripes means. It means blow marks. By His blow marks, you were healed. We were healed, people. That's an announcement for information, just for your information. The other is assent or pledge. Pledge is a promise of what He'll do. And it's a pledge, and it's a promise is a pledge, especially a divine assurance of good. In other words, the focus on promises for us people are God's divine assurances of good. See, for the world, if you're not born again, His promise is that if you don't believe on the Lord Jesus, you're condemned. But for us, we've been passed from death to life. And we've entered into His kingdom. We're now His children. We are now children of Abraham. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. And the blessings of Abraham have come upon us as Gentiles. And we've received the promise of the Spirit through faith. These belong to us. Those are promises. Those are announcements of information of what God has done for us. And if God is trustworthy, then we can rely on those things being true in our lives. And we can dig in and find out what those blessings are, what the promises of blessings are, you know, what the promises of the Spirit are, you know, what we've been redeemed from. Amen. And start walking free from the things that we've been redeemed from. You know, the curse of the law. You know, sickness and disease is obviously one of those. Madness, insanity, enemies coming against us and wiping us out. All these things, you know, that there even more. I'm not even getting into it. You know, poverty and lack, you know, as versus prosperity. You know, and God blessing us and meeting all of our needs and blessing us in our lives. Amen. All of these things are things that belong to us. And we got to get in there and find out what they are. And we got to go after them specifically. Amen. But He announced some things that He's done for us. And we got to dig in and follow up with those promises and what they are. But you got to understand that God is faithful. The promises of God. And this is what His faithfulness means. His promises are yes and amen. They're yes and amen. Amen. Now, let me come back to the promise for a second. Thayer defines a word, epagalia, as promise, the act of promising, a promise given or to be given, a promised good or blessing. So God's promises to us are always going to be built around good and blessing, what is good and what will bless us. Amen. His promises are always good and they're always a blessing to us. And so we need to get focused on that. Instead of focused on all the negative things going on in your life and wondering if God's causing that, we need to knock that off and we need to start going after all the good and blessed things that God's promised us. Amen? And so His promises are yes. And the word yes there is the word nai in the Greek, and it means a strong affirmation. Yes. Thayer defines it as yea, verily, truly, assuredly, and even so. For all the promises of God are even so. They're true. They're verified. They're verily that they're yes to us. Amen. Strong affirmation. That comes from Strong's concordant or dictionary New Testament words, and it means a particle or primary particle of strong affirmation. Yes. Amen. Isn't that awesome? The promises of God are yes. They're yes. They're never no. They're never maybe. They're yes. And in him, amen. And I love this word, amen. I learned something a little bit new about this word. I'm going to share it with you. The word amen, properly, it means firm. Figuratively, it means trustworthy. The promises of God are trustworthy. In other words, they're worthy of us putting our trust in them. Amen. They're firm. They don't change. They're firm. They're fixed. They're established. And then trustworthy, and as an adverb, it means surely, often as an interjection. It can be defined as so be it. So be it. Now, Thayer defines it a little bit further so we understand that. Thayer adds, at the end, it usually when you say amen at the end of something, like a prayer, or if somebody says something and you say amen to it. Now, realize this. Every time you guys say amen to something I'm preaching on, or some after we pray, this is what it means for you. It means so it is, or so be it. May it be fulfilled. That's what amen means for us. That's how Thayer defines it. And it was a custom. This is part of his definition, Thayer's definition. It was a custom which passed over from the synagogues to the Christian assemblies, that when he who had read or discoursed had offered up solemn prayer to God, the others responded, amen, and thus made the substance of what was uttered their own. So anytime somebody prays and you say amen, you're making the substance of that prayer your own. You're taking it for yourself. That's what amen says. And so when he's saying the promises of God in him, in Christ, and we're in Christ, so we don't have to worry about getting in him. We're already in him because we're believers. We're children of God. We believe on the Lord Jesus. Amen. So we're in him. So in Christ, they're yes and they are amen. In other words, they can be made. The promises of God, they are to be made part of us. The substance of those promises are become our own. You know, when we say amen to the promise, people, I'm going to tell you something. I read the word, I read my scriptures on a daily basis. I'm up to 40 verses now, 40 scriptures. And I read the scriptures daily. And as I'm reading them, I'll say amen. Sometimes I say, thank you, Lord. I'll say amen. And I'll say, that's mine. But when I'm saying amen, what I'm saying is, it's something now. I'm taking the substance of this promise and I'm making it mine. It belongs to me. And so if you're gonna walk in the faithfulness of God, you've got to start understanding that the promises of God, the substance of those promises already belong to you. So when you read them and you say amen and you say yes, I believe this, that the substance of it becomes yours. And see, what Paul's saying here is that they're already, the promises of God are already set in motion to be yes and amen on our behalf, people. Yes and amen on our behalf. You get that? It's already set in motion. That's the faithfulness of God. God isn't going to wait around till we struggle and strive and fight and get there eventually and then say, okay, now you can have my promises. Out the gate, born again, brand new in Christ, the promises of God are yes and amen. The substance of them are already ours. They already belong to us. And all we got to do is add our faith to it, add our agreement to it, and watch what God does in our lives. Amen. His faithfulness is that his promises are yes and amen. There's never a no. There's never a maybe. It may take some time. It may take some time. I mean, for those promises to begin to manifest in your life. And it may be because you got to grow into them. You got to get some knowledge before that promise is capable of really beginning to take off in your life. That happened for me. You know, I talked about earlier, it was easy for me to believe God for healing, and it was hard for me to believe God for prosperity. And the reason it was hard for me was that healing, I had a tendency to be able to receive healing immediately, and prosperity doesn't always work like that. Now, God will supply our needs, and we can go to the throne of grace, and he'll supply our needs by the time that we need it, you know, in the time of need. He'll supply that need. But when it comes to God blessing and prospering our lives, that may take some time. We might have to grow into that a little bit and allow that to take hold and begin to manifest on our behalf. But you never have to wait to have your needs supplied. God will always take care of your needs. The children of Israel were in complete rebellion against God because they refused to go into the promised land. Yet God never failed to feed them. He never failed to keep their clothes from rotting off their bodies and their shoes off their feet. He never failed to keep them warm at night or keep them shaded during the day from the sun. And there was a million people. So you got to imagine how big that cloud was that kept them shaded during the day. And how big that fire was that kept them warm at night. God took care of his people. Even though they were not in a good place with him, he still took care of them. He loved them still. He just had to look forward to the next generation that would be fed up with being out in the wilderness and would have the mind and the heart to say, you know what, I'm going in. We're going in no matter what. We're not staying out here anymore. We're taking the land. And they got that determination to take the land. And boy, did they. They went in and took the land. They didn't mess around. Amen. But God took care of those people until that generation passed away. 40 years out in the wilderness. Amen. So even if you're messed up, you know, and you're not completely there yet, understand God's going to take care of your basic needs. All you got to do is just ask and he'll do it. He's faithful. Amen. Now, the last part of this I want to get into is the word through. It says, for all the promises of God are in him, in Christ, are yes, and in Christ, amen. So you got to be in Christ to partake of the promises of God. And then it goes on to say, to the glory of God. So they're yes and amen. This is what gives God glory, is when his promises are manifesting in our lives. When his promises are yes and amen, and they're coming to pass in our lives. That glorifies God. And look what it says here, to the glory of God through us. Through us. Paul's making a very powerful statement here. The word through here is the word dia in the Greek. And it means it's a preposition denoting the channel of an act. And it means the word through. Thayer defines it as through. The ground or reason by which something is or is not done. The reason why there's glory to God, we're that reason. Us walking in the promises of God and seeing them manifested in our lives and being witnesses and testimonies of God's promises at work and being manifested in our lives, it gives glory to God. We're the reason that God gets glorified when we walk in his promises, when we walk in his blessings, when we walk in everything that he's promised. As we walk in it, it glorifies God. Because it proves the goodness of God. It proves the faithfulness of God in our lives. And people, God has never failed to take care of me, never failed to take care of my family. He's never failed to heal us. Amen. Now, as we get older, we might start dealing with things, but you know what? That doesn't stop the healing power of God. That doesn't stop the sustaining power of God in our bodies. That's kind of what I'm doing as I'm getting older. I'm moving away from that the healing idea to more of the sustaining idea. God's sustaining my body so that it doesn't fall prey to all the problems that come with age as your body begins to get old and things begin to stop working. No, God sustains me. He made that promise to me out of Isaiah that he would carry me and bear me. He made the promise in Psalms where it says, those that are planted in the house of the Lord, they will continue to flourish and bear fruit. That's in Psalms 92 if you want to read it. That as you get older, you'll still continue to flourish and bear fruit. Well, bless God, I started believing God for that flourishing in my life, in my body, in my mind. Amen? I'm planted in the house of the Lord. Are you? Amen. But it's through us that God gets the glory. It's through us walking in his promises that God gets glorified. You want to glorify God? Start walking in the promises of God. Amen? And there's other ways to glorify God. This is just one of them. And I'm not making this the whole thing. Amen. So what God's faithfulness means to us, it means that his promises are yes and amen to us. The second thing it means is that nobody's unbelief can stop the faithfulness of God for you. Nobody's unbelief. Nobody's unbelief can stop the faithfulness of God for you. Romans 3, 1 through 4, and you'll see in a second why this is important. What advantage then has the Jew, or what is the profit of circumcision? Much in every way, chiefly because to them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Certainly not. Indeed, let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, that you may be justified in your words and may overcome when you are judged. Now listen to me, people. This is really important to us, all right? I mean, this is really important to us, and you need to get a hold of this because God is faithful to you personally. Amen? God is not faithful to us as a group, you know, as swords for Christ. Now, he is faithful to us as a church, but I don't have to base his faithfulness to me based on whether or not the whole group is good and right with God. Israel rejected Jesus, and to them had been committed the oracles of God. And the word oracles there is the word logion, which comes from the word logos in the Greek, which is the word. And logion just means an utterance of God. So everything God spoke to them, it was committed to them. And they, you know, they didn't believe it. When the Messiah came, they did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. They did not believe that he was the Savior. As a nation, they rejected him. And that's part of the reason why in AD 70, when Jerusalem was ransacked and destroyed, it was because of that judgment. Jesus makes that very clear in Matthew 24 and in also Luke 13 and so on. Or Luke, not 13, but in Luke. I don't remember where it's at right now, but go read those about, you know, when they come to tell Jesus, look at the temple, aren't these stones beautiful and all this kind of stuff? And he says, and the stones will be torn down, and the day will come when Jerusalem will be surrounded with armies. Amen. And you know, and so he says, when you see that, man, get out of Dodge, you know, because it's going to be the worst persecution you ever saw. And they did. A lot of people split, man. I mean, there was a dispersion that happened when the Roman legion started coming into Israel and started going after Jerusalem to surround it. They, man, everybody split. All the Christians knew better. Amen. But see, they were committed, the oracles, the utterances of God, and they did not believe. And the word did not believe there is the word apistuo, which means to be unbelieving, to disbelieve, or by implication to disobey. There defines that word as to betray a trust, be unfaithful, to have no belief or disbelieve. Now, that's how God took it. I mean, they betrayed a trust that they had with him, that when he would bring his son, they would receive his son. And they didn't. They killed his son and threw him outside the city. I mean, that's basically what they did, you know, which was the parable, you know, of the garden, you know, when the master sent, you know, the guys that were taking care of the vineyard and stuff like that, or whatever it was, and they sent, you know, the master sent for fruit, and they beat some and killed some, and they killed the son. And it says that when that happened, he brought armies, and the army destroyed those men, and he gave the vineyard to other people. Amen. So that vineyard has been turned over in so many words to us until the time of the Gentiles is done away with. And then God's going to save Israel. That's going to be a very powerful, powerful thing. I can't wait to see it. But you need to understand that just because they were in unbelief, their unbelief does not make the faithfulness of God without effect. And without effect is the word katergeo, which means to render entirely idle or useless. You know, or Thayer adds also to cause to cease or put an end to, do away with, annul, or abolish. Their unbelief does not abolish the faithfulness of God. And you need to get this because you got to understand, God was the God of Israel. Amen. We were, what we received through Christ as Gentiles, you know, came after. It was to come through Israel. You know, Jesus said that to the woman at the well, you know, at Jacob's well, the the Samaritan woman, he told her, he says, salvation is of the Jews. And so it came through them and from them. And they didn't believe in their own salvation. Does that make the faithfulness of God? Does that annul it? Does that do away with God's faithfulness? No. This is what Paul's trying to tell us, that just because Israel didn't obey doesn't make what happened with Jesus and the whole reality that came out of that, it doesn't make it null. It doesn't make it of no effect. It doesn't render it useless. You know? And so will their unbelief. And that word unbelief there is apostia, which means, you know, to betray a trust, to be unfaithful, to have no belief, to disbelieve. That's the word for apostiuo, which is the verb. Unbelief is faithlessness or disbelief or unfaithfulness, which means disobedience. Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? And here again, the word faithfulness is actually not the word pistos in this case. It's the word pistis, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But let me finish my point here, because this is really important to us. Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? And Paul says, certainly not. He says, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that you may be justified in your words and may overcome when you are judged. Now listen to me very carefully, people. There are people leaving the church by droves right now. There are ministers who are turning away from the gospel, you know, and they're saying, I don't believe this anymore. I mean, talk about this whole thing of Christian deconstructionism that's going on. They're trying to undo the truth of the Word of God. And you're talking about leaders in this case doing this. The church, they fell into religion and became denominations. You know, they took the power out of the Word of God. You know, from the Catholic Church all the way through all the denominations, they took the power out of the Word of God, and it became more of a religion it became like what happened with the Jews, man. I mean, Judaism became a religion. You know, there was no power in it for them. And so everything they did out of their own strength, even though they were believing that they're the chosen people and you know, they have this covenant with God and they would go out and work and do all this. They did it out of their own strength. They weren't doing it out of true covenant. They were using it as a justification to go after whatever they wanted and put their life to it. And even in some cases, I don't think it's always that way, but in some cases to do it immorally. To gain that abundance immorally. Now, I'm not saying all of them did it, but I'm certainly saying some are or have done it and maybe still are doing it. And so you need to understand that when people around you are quitting on God, God's faithfulness does not change. It has no impact on His faithfulness to you whatsoever. If the whole world turned against Christ, I don't have to worry about that affecting God's faithfulness to me. And see, this is why I'm saying you got to receive His faithfulness to you personally. You can't let His faithfulness be defined by how He's working in other people's lives. You know, how many ministers out there have gotten in sin and messed up and gotten sin or did something illegal, or did this, or did that. I mean, you know, there was one minister whose daughter, I mean, he ended up almost being prosecuted for child abuse with his daughter. I mean, does God throw people away? Does all of a sudden everything that we believe become invalid? If he was preaching the word, does that now invalidate everything he preaches? No. If it's the word of God, it stays true to you regardless of anybody around you. The truth is the truth. God used a donkey to speak truth to a prophet who was going to go curse his people. You need to understand that. I mean, think about this also. The night Jesus was betrayed, he was taken before Ananias or something like that. Before he got there, they had a meeting, you know, and it was, you know, they had this meeting, you know, the Sadducees and the high priests and their family and stuff, they got together and they said, this Jesus has got to go. And it actually says in the Word, it says in the New Testament, you can go find it, that Ananias prophesied that this one man had to die in order for the whole nation to be saved. And it would, and the guy's writing it, I don't know if it's in Matthew or where, but the gospel writer that writes it is actually saying he prophesied this. God used an evil man to prophesy his word. And that man didn't have any faith in what he said whatsoever, but he spoke the prophecy of God because he was in that position that God could anoint him to speak his word. And it became true. Jesus died for the sins of the whole nation. He died so they could live. And now we're part of that nation. You got to understand, the spoken word of God is the truth. You know, Satan came to Jesus and said, he goes, cast yourself off this pinnacle. And he says, doesn't it say that the angels will bear you up lest you dash your foot against a stone? He was using the word and the word was true. And Jesus just said, yeah, but you shall not tempt the Lord your God. He countered it with scripture, but he was countering something that was true that the devil was saying. Satan didn't come to Jesus with lies. He came to Jesus to try and get him to do something that would cause him to sin. He knew exactly what he was doing, that Jesus would be tempting God if he threw himself off that pinnacle. But he didn't. Jesus countered and said, you know, thou shalt not tempt the Lord your God. And so that settled that. Amen. But you got to understand, those oracles, they're the truth. The oracles of God are the truth. And no matter who they've been handed to, how perfect or imperfect that person may be, if it's the word of God, then we do not treat it with disbelief. We receive it. Because why? Because God is faithful. He will make that come to pass for us if we believe it. So stop getting caught up in people around you. Stop getting caught up with whether or not somebody else is perfect or not. Or, you know, whether or not everybody's doing it all perfectly, including us as your pastors. We're not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. We do our best to walk in the Word to the degree that we know how and that we've been developed and trained in. But you know what? You guys have got to understand, if I walked into your home, how much of the Word are you really doing? Even in your own home. How much strife are you getting into? You know, how many things are you getting involved in the flesh? See, it's not because I'm perfect that the word is going to work for you. It's because God is faithful that his word works for you. And this is where we got to get ourselves to. I remember I got ordained, you know, initially a long time ago, I got ordained through a ministry. And the pastor that laid hands on me to ordain me, he had it within his wherewithal to do ordinations in, you know, based on his organization. And he laid hands on me and he ordained me in the Lord. And you know what? That pastor, he ended up kind of going off in a way that was like, I don't know whether or not he really got into sin or not, but he got kind of off in his thinking. And it ended up putting him and me at odds with each other. And I love the guy. But, I mean, he believed some things that were not true. And he got angry with me because he expected me to do something for him that God told me not to do with any man. And he told me that before I moved over into the town where I was going to go minister and become part of his staff and become an assistant pastor. And I wasn't even wanting to be an assistant pastor. I didn't even care. He had already ordained me and it was settled and I was moving along to do the work. I wasn't expecting to be any kind of pastor. And, you know, he got angry with me and his mind and heart turned against me. And I suffered through a lot of persecution from him, especially from the pulpit. He said a lot of mean things, trying to push me into the right way to follow him and do what he said. And you know what? I'm not going to follow man. I'm going to follow God. But he taught some things. There were some things he taught that was totally the Word of God. I received it. I continued to pay my tithes there for quite a while. To the point where he got so blatant about it, people were looking at me, why are you still hanging around? And so I had to stop going. And I even paid tithes even for a while after that because I didn't have any other place to put my tithes. And so I paid tithes for a while. You know, just because people are not perfect and they're off, they get off, that doesn't mean that God isn't his oracles. When they were oracles were committed to them, you know what? That still belongs to us. That's still, God will still be faithful to us. Now, if they're not teaching the truth, that's different. Amen? And that's why in verse 4 it says, you know, will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Certainly not. Indeed, let God be true, but every man a liar. Let God be true, but every man a liar. Let God be true. That word true is aletheis. It means true as not concealing. There adds loving the truth, speaking the truth, truthful. God loves the truth. He speaks the truth. He's truthful. Let God be true and every man a liar. And the word liar there is the word seustes, which means a falsifier. There defines it as a liar, a false and faithless man. You know, compared to God, we're all false and faithless. Let God be true, but every man a liar. Compared to God, we are nothing. God is the only true being. He loves truth. He speaks truth. He's truthful. The rest of us are just doing the best we can. So when it comes to faithfulness, people, when it comes to hearing the word of God and the oracles of God, you take it when God speaks to you, you take it personally, and you count on God's faithfulness for you. And you don't let the condition of other people turn you from the faithfulness of God. And I've seen this happen many times. I've seen people, you know, churches get shattered and people, you know, something happens in the church. You know, the minister, the pastor, head pastor gets in adultery or something or runs off with the money. And everybody starts, they all start cursing God and rejecting God. Where was your faith? You know, where was your faith? Was your faith in a man or was your faith in God? Let God be true and every man a liar. When something is spoken and it's the word of God and it's truth and you know it's truth and it rings true to you, it'll work for you. God will be faithful to what has been said, regardless of who says it. I remember one day, this was way back when. I mean, I was like in my mid-20s, late 20s. And I was working at this place where we were packaging pool products and, you know, chlorine and all that, powdered chlorine and all that stuff. And I was, these guys had gotten it into their mind that I was just like them before they even knew me. So the first day I walk into my office over in the warehouse, they had a bunch of nude pictures plastered on the walls. So I pulled down the nude pictures, tore them up, threw them in the trash. And the next day they did it again. I took them down, tore them up, threw them in the trash. And, you know, every once in a while they stopped doing it and then they'd come back and do it. I'd tear them up, throw them in the trash. Finally, I just got fed up with it and I started going out to our storage room, which was another warehouse. And there was a desk in there and there was stuff in there. And I started doing my work in there. You know, I just started doing my work in there. I was like, I'm not going to bother with this anymore. These guys are just being, you know, they're just worldly. I mean, they were a bunch of ungodly men. And this one guy, and I'm sitting there at the time, I'd finished, you know, all my work and I had a few minutes and I'm sitting there reading my New Testament. And the guy comes in, this one guy comes in and he looks at me and he sees that I'm reading the New Testament and he goes about, gets stuff that he needs, you know, and I make sure he's okay and he's got what he wants and everything. And he heads back out and you know, I'm sitting there and I go back to reading my New Testament. And in about 5 minutes later, he comes back in and he's looking at what I'm doing and he's grabbing something else. I'm like, man, dude. Didn't you get, you should have got it all while you were here the first time. And then he looks over at me and he goes, what are you reading? And I said, I'm reading my New Testament. He goes, what, you sinner? Now, I could have spent 30 minutes, you know, going over the fact that every time they posted nude pictures, I was tearing them up and throwing them away. You know, but they're defining me by them and how they are. And instead of, and you know what? The fact of the matter is, he was ungodly, unsaved, And he was basically speaking the truth, man, because, hey, you know, we're all sinners saved by grace. You know, so I said, yeah. And I said, that's why I needed Jesus. He goes, I'm a sinner and I needed to be saved. And Jesus saved me and now I'm born again. I'm a new person. And I ended up witnessing to him. We talked a little while longer after lunch because he wanted to hear more. He got saved that day. But people, sometimes you look at what they say and it's like, I'm not going to argue with you about it. There's truth in it, but I'm going to tell you what God says. And that guy got saved because of it. You know? And he ended up quitting like another few days later, a week later, he gave his notice and he was moving away and he got saved before he moved away. God bless him. God is so good, people. But you know what? No matter how he looked at me at the moment, thinking who I was, I spoke the word of God to him and he heard the word. He took the word personally for himself. Even though in his eyes, originally, he looked at me as not being any different than him. It wasn't until I started expressing my faith and my walk with God and who Jesus was to me and who I was that it started making sense to him. And he went in there and took down the pictures. I just didn't go in there anymore. I just went into the other place and I worked. And that was it. And he went and took them down. Because he learned that he got it from the word. The word was what mattered. And it was God's faithfulness to him. And so, you know what? Once he heard all of that and he saw me in a new light, he realized that the way he thought was wrong. See, so we cannot base, because you may think somebody's perfect and you could be completely wrong. You may think somebody's a sinner and you could be completely wrong. And you need to understand that. God's faithfulness directly to you. You take the word, the truth of the word, you take it and let the oracles of God become your basis of seeing God's faithfulness in your life. Amen? Praise God. Now, nobody's unbelief can stop the faithfulness of God for you. You need to understand that and get a hold of that. It doesn't matter what's happening in other people's lives. Bless God, it may not work anymore for that person over there because something's going on that I don't know about, but it's not my judgment. It's not my business. He says, you know, as it is written, that you may be justified in your words and may overcome when you're judged. See, we're all going to get judged on some level. But because we know the truth, because we know the oracles of God, because we are trusting in God's faithfulness, you know, when we speak, we will be justified in our words. We will be acquitted by our words, just like I was with that young man. I was acquitted by my testimony and by my words to him. And he saw the truth. And I overcame the judgment that they had rendered toward me. They were trying to conform me to themselves. I used to face that all the time because I worked on construction sites and you know, for decades, man, I used to have to deal with that all the time with guys on the job sites. It's just the way it is, man. They're carnal and they think everybody else is too. They get a hoot out of ungodly things and they think you're going to laugh with them. And it doesn't work like that. God is faithful, people. And it doesn't matter what's going on around you. Build it on him because people are going to judge you no matter what. You put your trust in his faithfulness. No matter what people are saying, if you're striving to walk with God, people, no matter what they say about you, blow it off. They're a liar. God is true. And he will stay faithful to you. It will not become ineffectual. When people start judging you, it will not become ineffectual for you. His faithfulness will stay with you, no matter what other people say. You know, they said all kinds of bad things about Jesus, and they corrupted and perverted, and the Pharisees and Sadducees, they corrupted the voice of the people so that Jesus was crucified, even when Pontius Pilate knew that they were liars and that what was going on was a big lie. He knew the truth. Isn't God good? Now, number three, Even when we tend to be faithless, even when we tend to be faithless, God and Jesus remain faithful. You know, we have a tendency to get caught up in this idea that if, you know, if I'm not perfectly in faith all the time, or if something catches me off guard and I just drop my faith or something, now God is going to drop me and let me go. That's not true at all. 2 Timothy 2:11 through 13 says this is a faithful saying. In other words, a faithful saying means just as God is faithful, this saying, you can rely on this saying. It says, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, and that word endure is the word hupomeno, which means to stay under, to remain, to undergo, to bear trials, to have fortitude, to persevere. There defines it as to remain, abide, not recede, or flee, you know, under misfortunes and trials, to hold fast to one's faith in Christ, to endure, bear bravely and calmly ill treatments. Okay? If we endure, the promise of enduring is that we'll reign with him. Sum basilio, which means to be a co-regent, joint regent, which means that you're exercising vicarious authority. In other words, you're exercising through the true Lord, you're exercising Jesus, his authority. Because you're in Christ, you are exercising authority through him. Amen? You're a joint regent or ruler with Jesus. You reign together with Christ. We're going to reign together. If we endure, people, and stick with this and not quit on our faith and not quit on God, we're going to reign with Jesus. But if we deny him, which is the next part of this verse 12, if we deny him, he also will deny us. And the word deny there is the word arneomai, which means to contradict, that is disavow, reject, or abnegate. And abnegate just means renounce. If you renounce Christ, he'll renounce you. The people that have stood up, leaders that have stood up and renounced Christ and said, I no longer believe in God, and they move on, and they think that they have this semi-form of righteousness now because, you know, I'm so much better than Christians. I'm so much better than the imperfect body of Christ because now I understand that, you know what, it's not all about being, you know, in Christ. I can do this my own way, and I'm okay. And they've allowed humanism, they've allowed the world to get in there and begin to corrupt what they believe and what they trust as truth. It's been corrupted. And you know what? They deny him. He denies them. But look at this. This is how many of you want to deny Christ? Nobody, right? Shake your head no, Valerie. No, none of us want to deny him. We wouldn't be here if we wanted to deny him. But the thing that we struggle with, people, sometimes is that we're faithless. You know, sometimes we're not walking by faith. Sometimes we're caught up in the natural. We're, you know, we get all caught in the wrong things and, you know, we mess up and we're not believing God right, or we're not even walking in love, or something's off. You know, we get off. We're faithless. And the word faithless there is the word apisteo, which means to be unbelieving, disbelieve, or even disobey. You know, every time you disobey and do something that's sin, you're being in a state of unbelieving. You're disbelieving. And so you're being that faithless person. You know? And so when that happens, we tend to think that, oh my God, you know, I gotta work my way back to God. I gotta start over again. People, you know, you don't. God never stopped being faithful. You know, we think we have to earn his trust again. We got to earn his faithfulness again. That's a lie. Even when we're faithless, he remains faithful. Again, the word pistos, trustworthy, trustful. I mean, he's trustworthy. He can be relied upon. God never changes. He remains faithful. That word remains there is the word meno, which means he stays in that state of faithfulness. He stays in that place of expectancy where, you know, it's like, I'm always faithful. Go ahead, come back to me. I'll be faithful. Don't worry. You know, it's the state he exists in. He lives in his faithfulness. And we need to get a hold of that concept in our minds. That God, he doesn't drop us just because sometimes we mess up and we get caught up and become selfish and do something stupid. He hasn't dropped us. He's stayed in that place of faithfulness. He has not denied us. He stays faithful. Why? Because he cannot deny himself. That same word, arneomai, to contradict, that is disavow, reject, or renounce. God can't renounce himself. He can't reject himself. He's connected to us. People, we're born again. We're created in his image. He stays faithful to us because we're part of him. Now, if we deny him, we've chosen our own road. But if we're just being faithless, God doesn't stop being faithful. You know, I mean, you don't know how many times I've told God, man, I messed up, Lord. I got in strife, or I did this, or I did that. Lord, I apologize, but I believe you're faithful and I need to pray right now. And he's faithful, people. He is right there on the spot. We can come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. What better time when we've messed up, we go to God? Well, I've got a whole scripture. I'm going to talk about that some more later on. Amen. About sin and him cleansing us of it. But there's more to it than just that. You'll see. When we tend to be faithless, God and Jesus remain faithful. They don't change, people. They stay connected to us. Amen. They stayed connected to us. Well, praise God. You know what? I'm going to stop here for today.